Come on, welcome to BC. Welcome to our last message on our... Thank you, sir. Oh, he gave me candy. Thank you, Cole. Oh, it's candy. You gave me candy. I love it. We do have a lot of fun. And we're pumped that you're with us. And we're going to get into this, and we're going to talk about restoration. We're going to talk about what it looks like. Maybe you walked into this building, and we're talking about family, talking about husbands and wives, and what restoration really looks like. And what happens, watch this now, what happens if right after the moment you buy into the absolute truth to really, to know that the best is yet to come. No matter where you're at in brokenness, no matter where you're at in your marriage, no matter where you're at in the family bond, we're talking brothers and sisters and sisters and sisters and brothers and sons and daughters. And maybe you're in this place going, man, I don't have that great relationship with my son, or I don't have that great relationship with my daughter. I don't have that great relationship. And you can go down the line of that family union. But what happens if you come to a place, to walk in a place of restoration and what that looks like? Because, man, when you go into a place, listen, I'm 49 and Renee's not. And we have been married for 25 years. And we honestly have bought into the truth. We believe this, that the best years for our lives are ahead of us. The best years for our marriage, we haven't even touched them yet. And it's been really good. It's been really good. But we really know, man, it's supposed to get better and the best is yet to come. And in that, there needs to be true transition. And in that, there needs to be real forgiveness. Because, listen, I'm going to show you a video here in just a minute. I'm going to play the video because it's really, someone showed me this and I've watched this about 25 times. True story. And I laugh harder every time I watch it because it's really funny. And I don't want any one of us to walk on this side of the video. Here, check this out if you can. I want you to see it. You may not have caught that. We're going to play it one more time because it's awesome.
All right, you have two choices. A, you can spend the rest of your life with
your
wife. Wrong
answer.
Or B, you can...
That's funny. My wife yells at me, like, that's not nice. B. Okay, anyways. Woo! Give me a kiss. We're getting cold tonight. Woo! You'll warm up at sea, honey. We'll be all right. ooh, come on. We're excited about today. I keep moving, honey. I'm moving. I'm on the move. You put a spring in this thing. Here we go. But honestly, we just wanted to have a conversation with you, true story, and just what it looks like, because I know, man, there's so many families and homes and marriages and husbands and wives that are broken and are hurting. And they're really trying to figure out, is there really light at the end of this tunnel? And can it get better? Like, can we have hope? And maybe you've walked through difficult season, and maybe it's been a circumstance that really hasn't been an outside circumstance coming in, or maybe it has been some foolish action in regards to adultery, or maybe it's been a foolish action in being harsh in tone, and maybe it comes to a place where over the years you've just kind of grown cold, and you're like looking at one another and going, what really actually happened to us? And the word restore, it means to reestablish, to go back to the original. And if you know anything about restoring furniture or restoring old cars and going into restoring houses, please hear this, man. This message is a message that says it requires work. When you look at what it takes to take this old rugged piece of antique furniture that someone is trying to get rid of, and you're looking at it going, no, there's beauty in that. What did that look like when it was first created? And then you have to sand it, and you've got to do all of this work to it and get every little piece if someone's painted over it, and you've got to take all of that paint off. And it's sweat work, man. It's work. It's hard labor. You're a car guy, and you're looking at this old rust bucket, and you're like, man, I could make that thing back to its original. But, man, it's going to take a lot of love, and it's going to take a lot of time, and it's going to take a lot of work. And, man, I want to go back to the original. I know guys that they have to order parts off of other cars that weren't rusted just because they want the whole thing, the whole car, from top to bottom to be original parts. Well, that takes a lot of work in taking something that has gone through a very difficult season for a long period of time and just say it's time to restore this. But at the end of the game, watch this now, at the end of that piece of furniture, you're looking at it going, wow, look at, and then, or the car you're looking at going, wow, that thing is just a beautiful piece of work. Or you're looking at, you know, even a home that gets restored. You take these old homes and you restore these old homes, and you're just amazed at the work, and you come to the end going, it was worth the labor. And I'm here to tell you that today your marriage is worth the labor. And you're in this place. And for Renee and I mean, again, we have been married for 25 years. We really have had it's been an amazing marriage. She's just an amazing woman, a great mom, and a great wife. And honestly, being a police officer and being a pastor, you know, people get confused in that because they're rated, I guess, in the top 10 or maybe even the top 5 of most stressful jobs of being a police officer and being a pastor. And someone says, well, you're doing both. How's that going for you? And honestly, being a cop was easy for me. I loved every inch of it, man. I loved every night. I loved putting the uniform on. I loved catching the bad guys. Still do this work in the village of Allegheny. I love that work. But I got to be honest with you, man. The most difficult times in our marriage has been since coming into ministry. And it's just not easy. Someone says, Sean, you're either called or you're crazy. Because instantly there's a target on your back and the enemy hates family to begin with, and he hates marriage because it really is a picture that sets up Christ in the church. And then you're going to put a target on you and your family's back and going into ministry. And one of your highlights in ministry is preaching on marriage, which God hates. And I tell you what, the most difficult parts of our marriage have been just within the last 10 years of this church. And I'm just being open and honest, man. It's not, obviously we're good, but that's the most difficult part of our marriage. Is getting into ministry and seeing how the enemy can attack, and he can get in there, and if you give him wiggle room, man, he's coming in full barrel. And that's never easy. And you never let that door open. And you know, when you come to a place to understand what a season looks like, and you understand how to navigate through a season, and we're not now navigating differently in ministry, we're navigating differently at Believer's Chapel, and we're really walking into a place that's different for us as a husband and wife, and there's a lot less stress and a lot less issues, and just we're making amazing strides in transition in our team and what's going on in our staff and what's going on in our time, and it's been really good changes, really good changes. But the most difficult part of our marriage has been the last 10 years of ministry, because it's tough, man, it's tough. And you come to a place to say, what does restoration really look like? And I'm sharing that with you. We're not going into details at all, but I'm just sharing with you. Even in a really good marriage, there can be some really difficult times. And man, maybe you're in a place going, man, we're at a time where we're about to end this game, man. We're about to leave this game. And you come to a place, are the best years really ahead in this marriage? Is the best yet to come? Well, there's an amazing verse, and Renee's going to share, but there's an amazing verse in Romans 12, and it's 12:18. I want you to see this because it's such a great verse, because it causes you to do your part. And I love this. It says this, if possible, and this should be a life verse, if possible, as far as it depends on you, and you could say this, as far as it depends on me, right? If possible, as far as it depends on me, or as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And I love this part because you have to come to a place to understand this verse, if possible. Man, we're gonna stretch this thing out. We're gonna make this thing work. Man, we're gonna walk in this marriage. We're gonna walk in a son-daughter relationship. We're gonna walk in a mother-daughter or a mother-son or a brother-sister or a brother-brother. Man, if possible, you know what this verse just screams? It screams, do your part. I'm gonna do my part in my marriage. I'm going to do my part in restoration. I'm going to do my part when there's brokenness, when we're going through a season. I'm going to do my part, if possible, as much as it depends on me. I am going to come to a place to know what it looks like to pursue peace. I'm going to do everything in my power. Why? Based off of this, if possible, as much as it depends on me, I'm going to walk in a place to be at peace with Renee, with my family, with the team, with the staff, with the kids, with relationships, with friendships, because you learn, I'm going to do my part. And when you come to a place in marriage, you come to a place in relationship, the top relationship of your life is your husband and your wife. And what happens if you took this verse and say, listen, if possible, as much as depends on me, I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be at peace with you. I'm going to seek peace. I'm going to pursue peace. And that means I'm going to have to lay the harsh down. I'm going to have to lay my own opinion down at times. I'll have to lay my way down at times. I'll have to lay, and I'm going to have to do some things that are changed. Because honestly, watch this. If we're going to really walk in a true way of restoration, and we're in a broken place, and we're looking, man, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some elbow grease. And you come to a place to buy into a truth of Romans 12:18. It says, listen, if it's possible, man, I'm going to do my part in this. I'm going to do everything possible for me to do my part. And you know what? One of the biggest pieces to this part of peace. Listen, you got to know this. Like, when we are called and we are commanded to forgive one another, like, there's not wiggle room in that. There's not room saying, well, I don't want to forgive her. Well, I don't want to forgive him. Well, no, that was a big thing. Whether it's adultery, whatever this is, and listen, please hear this. I'm not speaking in regards to abuse. If you're in an abusive relationship between a husband and a wife, or the wife is being abusive, or the husband is being abusive, by no means do we say work that out. By all means, I say come talk to us and we will figure out plan A. Plan A is to remove yourself from an abusive relationship, and then we work on restoration through a different avenue. But I'm talking about a marriage that says we're in this thing, then we're in this thing together, and I'm going to do my part. You know, it demands forgiveness. Listen, when you begin to see the truth of Scripture, like when you begin to really understand, I got to read something before Renee flies here. We got to go. Come on, Ephesians says this. Ephesians 4. Where am I at? Oh, here we go. Ephesians 4 says this. I love this. It says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Wouldn't that just be a great plan right there? Because if you read Ephesians 4, we don't have time to get into whole Ephesians 4. It really is talking about the new you. And that's not some commercial. That's not thing you're selling some product to get the new you. No, thank you. I'm talking about a spiritual new you. I'm talking about you coming to the absolute truth of knowing Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior. And then the amazing thing of His Holy Spirit comes and dwells and remains in you. And in that, there's power and there's authority to live a life full of love and full of joy and full of peace and full of patience and full of kindness. You walk down this place and say, okay, I want my life to be full of peace. I want my life to be full of love. I want my life to be full of joy. And listen, you read Ephesians 4, and this is an amazing new you by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, that you cannot be the same. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are different from the world. You have an authority in you. You have a power in you. The Holy Spirit reigns in you. And in that, the fruit of that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit of the living God in you. And in that, you cannot be the same. But he says this, put away from you. Like this shouldn't be a part of you. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander should be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Watch this. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. See, and then when you really dig in to the reality of forgiveness, you can look at Matthew 6 and you can look at the Lord's Prayer. And then you look at the end of the Lord's Prayer, you see the Lord goes right in to a very real picture of forgiveness. He says, you see, if you refuse to forgive another, my Father in heaven can't forgive you. Yeah, but you know what she did. Yeah, but you know what he did. Yeah, but you see, when you understand, watch this now, if you truly want restoration in marriage, and you really want to come to this place to be restored, and you want true reconciliation, and you honestly know, man, I'm going to make this thing better. It's going to get better as we go. And man, it's not the best that it can be right now, because I know that it can be. The one of the biggest pieces of your marriage is you need to really understand how serious it is and what it really means to forgive one another, because you're not perfect. You didn't marry Jesus, man. He is way above your pay grade, right? And you didn't marry the most amazing woman on the planet who never makes a mistake. Neither one of those people exist in all of humanity. There are going to be mistakes, and you absolutely must in marriage learn to forgive quickly. But the idea of forgiveness, it means to release. Because the word says that when he forgives us, he remembers our sins no more. And you and me would be, well, that's great if I could just forget him and not remember him. That's not That's not what that's saying. God who knows all things, he's an all-knowing God. He knows everything. He knows the sins that you committed. He knows the sins that you're going to commit. It's not like he just comes to a place and, oh, I forgot him. That's not what it means. If you study, that means he chooses not to bring them up again. That means that when you and I stand before the throne, we stand before him innocent because of the blood shed of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, you can receive no forgiveness. And you come to this place to realize, because of his forgiveness, man, I'm going to stand before him and he's not going to bring up X, Y, Z. What happens for you and I in the same way? I love Ephesians 4:32. Just like... You mean to tell me in the same way that God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ, that's the same way I need to forgive Renee? You're telling me that in marriage, that the same way she's supposed to forgive me? You mean the same way I'm supposed to forgive my sister, in the same way I'm supposed to forgive my son, I'm supposed to forgive my daughter, I'm supposed to forgive my brother, in the same way? You mean just like? You mean it's just like? He meant what he said when he said, just like God has forgiven you. You and I are commanded to forgive one another. How much more so even just in the most amazing, beautiful relationship that you carry between a husband and a wife, that you are called to forgive. And forgive means to release, and that means to not bring it up. Well, remember 6 months ago you did. Well, man, are you ever going to let that go? Because we can't heal. We can't heal. I'm trying to build this bridge back. I'm trying to build trust back. But man, every time I skip a beat, man, you bring that and you throw that thing back in my face. We can't heal. Did you really? You said you forgave me. Well, why is this thing keep bringing back? We can't heal when you keep bringing it. You just rip open the wounds and it hurts. Aren't you glad? And when you get on your face, or even this morning, just in the presence of God, he wasn't hammering your spirit going, do you remember last week? Do you remember last month? Do you remember? Yeah, but man, I asked you to forgive me, and your word says that you're going to forgive me. Well, yeah, but do you remember? And you just, God doesn't do that, man. Our Father doesn't do that. And neither should we. We come to this place and go, what is restoration? What does it really look like? Man, I want Renee to share. She's got such a great heart in this, and you go for it, my love. Oh, here we go. Bingo.
Okay. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
So in worship today, God gave me a great picture. You know, I was just praying that the Holy Spirit would help me today, you know, and it's amazing. He does come to our rescue. And I have... you know, all these notes, I'm like, I don't even know where to go, but I have all these things written down. But God was like, you know, you're two pieces of a puzzle. You know, Sean's a half, and I'm a half, and we're two pieces of a whole. And our puzzle pieces are different from each other. So when his piece and my piece come together, it makes a perfect match. It comes together and, you know, it fits together. But, like, how many of you know that if you try to put, like, two pieces of the same puzzle piece together, it doesn't fit? You know, there's no way for it to fit. And so, you know, God was just, like, putting it on my heart how, you know, there are things about us that are way, way different. You know, like Sean is so different from me. You know, he's strong, I'm weak. You know, like he's got like tons of energy. He's like Superman, and I'm like, you know, not
Superman.
And but like it's funny how like the things that like draw you to your mate in the beginning become frustrations later in life, and you're like, okay, this is something I loved about him, but now I'm a little irritated by, you know, this thing. And, you know, but God was showing me even like a bigger picture. And, you know, when you put a puzzle together, You know, we have tons of puzzles, by the way. Olivia, our daughter, she's been collecting puzzles for a very long time. And so we started with, like, the 35-piece puzzle and the 50, the 100, 500. We go up to the 1,000-piece puzzle now. And when I was thinking about that, you know, God was showing me how even Believer's Chapel is a puzzle. And each one of us are a piece of this big 1,000-piece puzzle. And all of us fit together. You know, and we have a place. And it's just so incredible. Like, and when you put a puzzle together, we like put it on our dining room table and we set the box up because there's this beautiful picture. It's like puppies or the ocean or something, you know, amazing. And we set the box up and we put our puzzle together and we take the pieces and we keep looking back, you know, to the picture, this beautiful picture. And you know, you're able to, like, work on this thing together. And I'm reminded that God's word is, like, the picture he gives us for all of us to work together. You know, it's this beautiful picture. And, you know, I have to come to a place where I have to say, Lord, you know, what's wrong with me? Like, what can I change? You know, it's not about me saying, you know, Sean, you need to change. Because God made him this way, and he's got great, you know, characteristics about him, but it's the little things that get there, you know? And I have to say, you know, I'm going to choose to forgive him. And, you know, things come up, and the devil is, you know, after our marriage. You know, he's just, like, tries to get in there, and he likes to, you know, set up traps for us. And he knows exactly where to trip us up. And, you know, I, you know, told Sean I was going to share a little story, you know. He likes to show me his, like, awesome driving skills. And that's one of the things, like, I don't really like that anymore. It was really fun when we were dating. But now I don't like to drive fast. I like to go a little slower, you know, like, we'll get there. And I like to pull into a parking lot and, like, find, like, the front spot where you can pull through to the next spot so that when I leave, I can just go. And he likes to go to the back of the parking lot. And he likes to, like, find the spot and then do a three-point turn to get into it. And then we're, like, going in a circle and then backing up. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know? Meanwhile, he's like, text this person, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, holy cow! Oh my gosh, I'm so dizzy right now. But, you know, it's just like those little things that get in, you know? And the Bible says that the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking, seeking whom he can devour. And, you know, I've come to the place where, you know, I'm looking for those traps. I'm not going to let them trip me up anymore. And we all have the Holy Spirit in us. If you're a Christian and a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you know, it's asking God to help us every day. Holy Spirit, help me today, because I want to see the trap. I want to see where I'm going to be tripped up, because I want to be able to forgive and not hold offense, because offense is actually what, you know, builds the wall. And then if you hold on to your offense and you let it fester, you know, it just gets worse and worse. We have to be people that just want to, we have to let go of our offenses. And I was thinking about how, you know, a doctor practices law. A lawyer A doctor practices, what does he practice? Medicine, yeah. I don't even know what they do. Who knows what they do? I don't know. Okay, so, and a lawyer practices law. And I'm like, okay, we need to practice peace. We are children of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. You know, he came after Jesus left to help us. And I just am amazed that, you know, he will help you if you ask him. You know, that needs to be the cry of every believer's heart. Holy Spirit, please help me today. Because I want to walk in forgiveness. I want to walk in peace. I want to walk in unity. And in Ephesians 4, This is awesome. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And, you know, I want to keep this bond of peace in my marriage. You know, I don't want to let little things trip me up and destroy, you know, the day. And God has called each and every one of us to walk in forgiveness. You know, and it's like, how many times do I need to forgive in a day? The Bible says 70 times 7. And that's a lot. Like, that's a lot of forgiving. But God says to do it. And we need to be obedient to that. We need to walk in love. And we need to be different. You know, there's a world out there that is waiting to know God. And we are the vessels that he's using here in this city. And we all together, they will know us by our love. And this is the great thing is, the Bible says that marriage, it's the mystery. And it's amazing if we can just walk together in that bond of peace, and that we would walk and forgive one another of all the little things. And it's just walking in that spirit of forgiveness, you know. Jesus he's raised the standard. He calls us, he tells us in his word that this is how we are to walk as children of God. And so we just want to walk that out, and we want to love one another.
Well, it's been great having you up here, babe. For the whole marriage series, man, it's been awesome that she's been with us. But we want to close it out this way. What's it look like? And she said something amazing. Like, I love how she just shares things from her heart, and just what it really means to practice peace. If you really come to a place and say, listen, I'm going to practice, sometimes practice doesn't go well. Like, if you're in athletics and maybe you had a bad baseball practice, maybe you had a bad football practice, but it doesn't mean, you know, show up the next day to practice, and then you practice and you practice. What happens when we are going to practice forgiveness? If we really want reconciliation, we really can say the best is yet to come. We need to walk these things through. We're going to walk through peace. We're going to practice peace. We're going to practice forgiveness. We're going to walk in what it means to truly hold short accounts, man. I'm not going to hold an account for long. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is going to be granted, and then we're going to move on to another day. What happens when you practice that? So what we're going to do is just trying to really seek a way to close out this marriage series. If we could just have every husband and wife that's in this place. If you're here and your husband or wife is not here, I still need you to stand up, please. Husbands and wives, stand up, grab the hand of your spouse, please. And this is honestly, this is what we want to do in this, because, man, we're going to look at husband and wife. We're going to look at what it looks like to really just say, God, we're just going to pray. We're going to believe that, God, the best is yet to come in our marriage. This doesn't have to be the best it gets. You don't have to be stuck. You can walk into a place in Christ to say, listen, I'm going to do it his way. We just sung it this morning. His way is better. His way works. It doesn't have to. We don't have to be in this condition. There can be change. But if you truly want restoration, you come to play, say, I'm willing to work at it. We're going to practice peace in our home. We're going to practice forgiveness in our home. We're going to practice laughter in our home. We're going to practice joy in our home. Things are changing, man. We're going to make a change. And it can start here. It can start right now in a decision that you would say today, to your spouse, I'm going to do my part. If possible, as much as it depends upon me, man, we're going to walk in a place of peace. That's my game. My game is we are going to practice peace. Well, I can tell you that I'm going to practice peace, and I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to walk in grace, and I'm going to walk in mercy. And I'm telling you, we're going to get through this. I'm going to do my part in this. Man, you're in this place. This morning, you come on, what's it mean to say, I'm going to do my part? I can give you that promise today that I'm going to do my part. And then when two people in a marriage come to a place, I'm going to do my part, and I'm not going to hold things over your head. When I say I forgave you, just like, it's such a great word, isn't it? It just puts things in perspective. In the same way that I am forgiven by the creator of the universe because the mighty work of the cross, and in that same way, I'm going to forgive you. The same way that he doesn't hold it over my head, in the same way that he doesn't keep bringing it up, in the same way that he doesn't, no, in the same way, I'm going to forgive you. Because I'm going to seek peace. Because I'm seeking restoration. It's going to take work. It's going to take some elbow grease in your marriage. But if you honestly watch this now, we got to pray. But if you really can come to a place this morning to say the best is yet to come, it doesn't have to be this way. Where we're at right now isn't the end game. We can walk in restoration. We can walk in peace. We can walk in forgiveness. And when you come to a place to leave this sanctuary this morning, you come to a place to say, the best is yet to come. It is going to get better because I'm going to do my part. And when your wife says, I'm going to do my part, and the two of you come to a place this morning in prayer to say, we're going to do our part, man, then it gets better from here. Then it gets better from here. But when one person says, that, you just keep working hard. You just keep working hard. You just keep working hard. And maybe if I think you've proven yourself, maybe I'll come into the game. That doesn't work. When you come to a place, you say, from this day forward, man, we both need to do our part, and we are going to practice forgiveness, and we're going to practice grace. We're going to practice mercy. We're going to practice forgiveness. It's going to be the practice of our home. It's such a great word. Come on, if you just bow your heads, and if you would just trust that the best is truly yet to come. It's been an amazing series. And we end this, even tonight at Seek will be an amazing time of prayer, but in this moment we come to a place to say the best is yet to come for our marriage. No matter where we've been, no matter what you're coming through, would you please know that the best is yet to come? Father, we just present this to you this morning. We are crying out to you, God, that you would just invade our space in this. Father, I ask that you would just come over every husband in this room. That God, if there needs to be little twerks or little changes, there needs to be little things not said, little things that need to be said. God, tone needs to change. Whatever this looks like, God, the husband right now is saying, I'm going to do my part in this. I'm going to practice tender kindness. I'm going to practice being friendly. I'm going to practice being fragile. I'm going to practice this. I'm going to do my part. I need you to do something in this. Husband, if that's you and you're saying this to your wife, even if it's good, the best is yet to come. It doesn't stop here. But husband, if you're in this place and you say, honey, this is the truth. The best is yet to come. And I commit to you in this moment that I will do my part. I need you just to squeeze her hand. Don't break it. Just squeeze it and let her know tenderly and gently that you will do your part in this. You come to a place. Father, we just lift up every wife in this place. No matter where she's at, and maybe a broken place, maybe a hurting place, and God, she can commit to her husband. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to practice forgiveness. I'm going to practice really speaking into the man that you are and the man that you're going to be. I'm going to speak into that man. I'm going to practice peace. And the best is yet to come. And in this moment, I commit to you that I will do my part. And if that's you, I need you to squeeze your husband's hand and say, honey, I'm going to do my part. And just squeeze his hand and let him know, I'm going to do my part. You have all of me. Lord, we just know that you see all of this. You see all of this. We walk out of this place today knowing that there's some great work ahead. And it's beautiful work. And God, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, come on, amen.